This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
I've read this passage to you in Corinthians, where Paul said that Jesus said, he was quoting Jesus, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." If you've been around Christianity for any length of time, at some point in time, you're going to hear something about the blood of Jesus. Oftentimes, people who are on the outside looking in to Christianity say, I don't understand some of the bloodiness of Christianity. I understand, and I won't have the time to go into all of it tonight, but do understand that God said that the life is in the blood. You lose your blood, you lose your life. And the life is in the blood. And so throughout the Bible, you see blood being used. You read in the Old Testament, you read in Numbers and Leviticus. You see how many sacrifices there were. Well, what oftentimes Jesus is talking about, what the Bible is talking about when it talks about a covenant. And you hear that word used. A covenant simply means an agreement. It means to come together. It's God's arrangements with man. And oftentimes these covenants, people form covenants without God, but God formed covenant with people. Then people would form covenants with one another. And in biblical times, you have to understand covenants were very, very important. Now, I realize, guys, we live in a day where our people can change their minds and change and say, I'm going to do this, and then change their minds and go back on it. And this, I think it's gotten worse. Some of you can remember what I call some old school people. You ever heard old school people say, my word is my bond? How many of you know those are infrequently found? And when you do find them, you want to hang on to them? Usually they're a different generation. But you've heard people say, did you get anything in writing on that? And they're like, no, I just shook the man's hand. And he said, it's a deal, it's a deal. Appreciate people like that. Hey, we should be people like that. Amen. But you say, well, Alan, should I treat everybody that way? If you don't know them, get it in writing. And so we live in a time now where that is gone. But keeping a covenant was so, so important. I want to read you a story about the nation of Israel. And they were going into the promised land. Joshua was leading them in. And when they were going in the promised land, they were absolutely eliminating the people groups they were in there. Remember, they had all the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. All the ites were in the land. And they were taking out these ites. And there was a different group of people, a people called the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites were pretty sharp folks. And they looked around, they saw what Israel was doing, and they were like, we're not going to make it. So they devised a plan, and we'll pick up reading in Joshua, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 18. They're talking to Joshua, and they said, therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants, now therefore make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot from our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it's dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we had filled were new, and see, they're torn. And these garments and our sandals have become old because they're a very long journey. Let me stop just a second. These Gibeonites had come to Joshua and they said, hey, man, we've heard about you guys and we live a long way from y'all. They probably didn't say y'all, but this is the southern rendition of how this works. They said, we live a long way. And we had heard what God had done. And look, our clothes were brand new when we started, but we've come such a long way. I mean, they gave a whole new meaning to the word vintage. You know, vintage is big now. They did vintage. They're like, we got old clothes and old shoes. Look, even our bread is all moldy and nasty, because we've been traveling such a long way to get to you. So understand, the Gibeonites were doing this. Let's go back, verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant, remember, agreement with them, to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And they would do these covenants. They would often sacrifice animals and use it as blood, as a sign that a covenant had been made. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephra and Beeroth and some other name. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against the rulers. So these Gibeonites tricked them. They lied. But yet they formed a covenant. And even though they formed a covenant, now today, if someone lied to us, we'd have said, null and void. We're not doing that. But Israel said, we can't hurt these people because we have made a covenant with them. We have sworn to them. And now we can't touch them. I think it's very key that there's a phrase in here, guys, that is so interesting. It says they looked at their old clothes and their moldy bread, and they took their provisions, but they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. Well, is there a lesson in that? How many of you know things aren't always like they appear? Sometimes it's just good to say, Lord, what do you think about this? Just a suggestion, just a thought. Because a few of us, myself included, I'll just talk about me. I've made some deals before that did not turn out to be good deals. Someone sold me an oil well in Israel. There's natural gas in Israel, but so far they found no oil there. Joy has still not let me forget about that. I didn't ask counsel of the Lord. I didn't ask counsel of Joy either. We just did it, and I swore I'd never do it again. All right, so, but understand this. The covenants were extremely binding. Now, look what it said in verse 19 and 20. Then all the rulers said to the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We'll let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath we swore to them. They were so serious about covenant that even though these jokers had lied to them, they said, we're not going to do anything to them. We're going to let them live because we swore an oath and because we made a covenant. They were very serious about covenants. Covenants were established, and once they were established, man, they were written literally in blood. You say, well, you know, those Gibeonites, man, they were, I'm sure God wasn't too happy about that. I'm going to jump real quickly. 150 years later, 150 years later at least, David is king of Israel, and they've got a famine in the land for 3 years, and David inquired the Lord. He said, Lord, why is there a famine in the land? Put the next scripture. Look what the Lord said. There was a famine in the land the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired the Lord, and the Lord answered, it's because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house because he killed the Gibeonites. Years later. And God said, man, judgment has come on Israel. Now, if you know the rest of the story, this is where David takes 7 sons of Saul and hangs them up. And you're thinking, man, this is kind of ugh. But why? Because there is sowing and reaping. And what's amazing to me is do you realize 150 years ago is 1867? Something that happened then is still valid now. Because when God talks about covenant, he's very serious. And Israel's very well, they knew about covenant. There was Abraham's covenant with God. Moses had the covenant. They had the tabernacle out in the wilderness, and there was a covenant with God there. And you know, they were always sprinkling blood around. Everything was cleansed by blood. Without shedding of blood, there was no remission. David had a covenant with God. These agreements are powerful. And you say, well, I wish I could have been living in those days. Hey, I got good news for you. We have a covenant with God, and it's a better covenant, and it's got better promises. It's a wonderful one. Look at this. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he, Jesus, is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. If you ever read the book of Hebrews, it's a fascinating book, and you're like, what are they talking about in Hebrews? Hebrews is always a contrast between the old covenant and between what we have in Jesus. And it's always talking about that Jesus is better than angels. Jesus has a better covenant. We have a better agreement with God. It's a wonderful book. It was written to Jewish believers who had come to Christ, and they were getting so much pressure, they were going back into Judaism. And Paul was going, the writer of Hebrews, some think it's Paul, said, don't do this. So we have a covenant with God. We have an agreement with God. Here are the benefits associated with our covenant. Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. This is the covenant God's saying that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Well, that's good news for us. So listen, we're saying we have a covenant with God. And this is when Jesus held that cup up at the Lord's Supper, the very first communion supper. He said, this cup is the new covenant, the new agreement, he said, in my blood. Now, covenants before were often cut with the blood of bulls and goats. He said, no, no. He said, the covenant we have with God, no bulls and goats. Aren't you glad that when we come to church, you'd end up bringing a goat? Oh, I've sinned, Pastor. My whole family, we've been fighting all week. We brought a goat. We have to kill the goat, shed the goat's blood, go home. We're like, okay. But then you mess up again. You got to come back, kill another goat. And they're barbecuing all the time back then. I mean, they were killing goats and bulls and lambs and all that stuff. Why? They said every time there was sin, there had to be a payment made. That's why I love the covenant we have now, because Jesus shed his own blood for our sins once and for all. He did it. Then he walked into the holy place, not an earthly tabernacle. He walked in and presented his blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. And so thank God. You say, well, Alan, I've missed it. I've made a mistake. That blood is still there. It still speaks God's forgiveness. It still speaks whatever you've done, his blood is bigger. Alan, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the power of the blood. It's a powerful thing. It cleansed us and washed us and made us able to stand before God without a sense of guilt. And without that just doom hanging over us, we have a covenant with God. And God says, I will be their God, and we are his people. Say, who's God's people? That's it. We, that's us. We're God's people. Oh, I wish I could have been God's people. We are God's people. I wish I could have been Jewish. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't need to be Jewish. You can be as Gentile as they come, because you've got a covenant with God, not based on a Jewish covenant, based on what Jesus has done for us. So here's the deal. God is our God, and we are his people. I found this verse the other day. We were reading in Romans, and I found it again. I just liked it. It said, he was saying in verse 23, that he, God, might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. That's us. Which he had prepared beforehand for glory, for even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Oh, I just like that. You ought to look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm a son of the living God. That'll cure insecurity. So I got a good family. Say, well, you don't know my family's jacked up. You need a new family. And if you belong to God, you're in his family. And he's anything but jacked up. He's perfection, and we're his children. Yay. Say, Alan, I didn't do anything to earn that. Yeah, none of us did. That's why it's called grace. We didn't earn it. It was given to us. All we had to do was say, yes, sir, and it was ours. What a blessing. I will call them my people. So I like that, vessels of mercy. We are containers of the mercy of God. Isn't that good? A vessel of mercy. That's a container. Say, man, there goes a container of God's mercy. We are much loved sons of the living God. Here's a second benefit. God has done a work in our hearts. No longer is our relationship with him based on outward rules and regulations. God has worked a spiritual change in us. We are born again. We are new creations. You have to understand, people talk about the Old Testament. The Old Testament had a lot of rules and regulations. They were all outwardly. We have a new covenant, a new agreement with God. And God has done a work in our hearts. And our hearts have been made tender towards Him. Our hearts can have fellowship with Him. That's a wonderful thing. So no longer we're simply trying to keep, slavishly keep rules to be accepted of God. We're already accepted. We're His children. And we have a relationship with Him. That's why you hear me say almost every week, for we are new creations in Him. That's a spiritual new creation. You do understand that you are a spiritual being. You have a soulless realm. You live in a body. One day we'll leave this body behind. Peter referred to it as a tent. A tent is a temporary dwelling. He said, one day I'm going to leave this tent. Some of us are like, I'm ready to leave this tent right now. But listen, and one day he said, when we leave this tent, we don't cease to exist because we're a spiritual being. And then one day when Jesus makes all this right, we get a brand new glorified body. Oh, you're going to like this one too. This one doesn't get old. This one doesn't get wrinkles. This one doesn't gain weight. That one's going to be fun. I like what a friend of mine, Keith Moore, said. He said, I'm convinced, he said, God has not told us too much about heaven because we'd all want to go. I mean, wouldn't you like one of those bodies where you could just pop through the wall like Jesus did? You know, their door's shut and Jesus popped through the wall and go, peace be to you. Wouldn't that be fun? Bust right in on your teenagers going, peace be to y'all. But I digress. All right, here we go. Now, here's a third benefit. Because of our covenant with God, He said, now everyone can know God. It used to be the only really certain people had a kind of relationship with God, the kings, the priests, and the prophets. And they're the ones that could have the Holy Spirit upon them. They were the only ones. Everyone else had to go to a priest, had to go to someone. Do you realize, here's one of the greatest news, God, do you realize you don't have to come to someone to do your praying for you? He said, we're not saying people, oh, you need to know God. We say everybody can know God. From the smartest to the greatest to the least and the weakest, he said, everybody can know me. What a wonderful deal. You don't have to come to anybody and say, oh, can you pray for me? Can you do this? And that's okay if you want someone to pray with you. We pray with people almost every week. We're always down here praying with people. That's good. But what I'm saying is you don't need someone to go to God for you because you have a relationship with God. You're accepted before the throne of God. You don't have to get someone who's elevated. I've got Alan. Maybe not Alan, I'll get Joy. I told a guy one time, he said, I'm coming for prayer. He had cancer. He said, I'm coming in for prayer tonight. I said, well, Jim, we'll pray for you. He said, no. He said, I don't want you. He said, I want the A-team. He's talking about Joy and Janet. He said, I don't want you. I want the A-team. That's okay. I'm like, uh-huh, I got it. I know who the A-team is. But the idea is you don't have to have somebody pray for you. God will hear you. Isn't that good? Amen. You don't have to have someone explain everything to you. The Bible says you have the Holy Spirit who is the teacher. Yes, that's it. And He can bear. Yeah, we need teachers' help. But you've got someone on the inside, or if someone's sharing something and it's not right, you're going to get a witness on the inside. That's not right. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, He can keep you out of a whole lot of stuff. Now, here's the deal. So everybody can know God. Now His Spirit lives in us. Romans 8:11. I'm going to close this out. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. What a deal. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. When you make Jesus your Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. He dwells in you. He dwells in us. Not only can He dwell in us, He can dwell on us. Jesus said in Acts 8:1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit can live in us, and the Holy Spirit can come upon us for service. That's a whole nother message. I'm going to do a series coming up fairly soon on the Holy Spirit again. If you've never heard me do that, you ought to come because you want to find out about Him, because He can make a huge difference in your life. Huge. So, now everyone can know God. And then here's his last one. We have his mercy in our lives. He's not remembering our sins. Hebrews 9:11. We'll close here. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's a powerful phrase. In the old covenant, like I said, you had to bring a goat or a calf or a lamb. If you had made a mistake, you would bring that goat and that calf, and the priest would shed the blood and be for forgiveness. And every once a year, the high priest would go into the most holy place, and he would bring blood for the forgiveness of the entire people. But he went every year. And he had to go every year. And so every year there's a remembrance of, we've sinned. He's saying, no. He said, we got a better deal. Jesus, he didn't take the blood of bulls and goats. He took his own blood. He went into the holy place. He cleansed us all once for all. Listen, you don't lose your salvation, guys. That blood already cleansed you and made you whole. So, Al, what happens when I miss it? When you miss it, you just say, Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And the Bible said he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It didn't say we get born again. Yes? I realize some of you have been taught that you would lose your salvation. That's often meant to scare people and to manipulating them to keep them afraid to do the wrong thing because they're going to lose their salvation. Some of you, if you went to a movie, you'd lose your salvation. Some of you, if you wore makeup, you'd lose your salvation. Some of you, if you looked at somebody the wrong way, you're constantly losing your salvation. Listen, you're not losing your salvation. You might lose your sense of fellowship, but all you have to do when you miss it is go, Lord, forgive me, and he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and you get cleaned up, and then you come back and you're good. So, Christian life was not meant for us to live constantly condemned, feeling horrible about ourselves. And that's the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's constantly telling you, you're a lousy Christian. You're a lousy Christian. You're a lousy Christian. Listen, if you've missed it, get forgiveness. But once you've got forgiveness, begin to rejoice and thank God. Lord, thank you. This is a permanent thing. I'm not scared of losing my salvation. I'm intent upon living for you. That one day when I face you, I'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's love motivated instead of fear motivated. We're a love motivated bunch because we're beloved sons of a living God, cleansed and have a conscience that's free from all the junk in the past. So you don't know my past. I'm gonna go over this one more time. You don't know the blood. The blood wiped out your past. So might as well stop talking to God about it because he has ceased to remember it. He said, your sins and lawless deeds, I will remember no more forever. Isn't that good news? Yes. We got a great covenant. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that we have a covenant with you that's established upon the blood of Jesus. And thank you that that blood has cleansed us. It has washed us. And Father, we stand before you spiritually clean. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to gain our salvation over and over and over again, but receive your forgiveness and walk with the confidence that we have and the covenant that we have through Jesus. What a wonderful privilege that is. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't know that I have a relationship with God. I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. But I want to be sure. Or maybe you're here and you say, Alan, I'm one of those guys who's just so far away from God. And I know tonight I need to come back. We're going to say a very simple prayer. I'm not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. But sitting in your chair right now, this is such a powerful time. And you can connect with the one who loves you, the one who paid a price for you, the one who will make all the difference in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, I want that relationship, or I want to come back, I've been away, would you pray for me real quickly? Slip your hand up just across this auditorium. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, hands are going up all over. Anybody else? That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Great. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. That's wonderful. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. We're gonna pray. And you think, oh, I missed my chance. No, no. You pray this from the heart. We're gonna pray it with you. All the whole church family is gonna join in. Say, dear God. I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. And God raised Him from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed still. Father, for those hands that went up, thank you. Father, for people who have responded to you, thank you. Thank you, Father, they have stepped out of darkness into light or right back into fellowship with you. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for the reminder of communion, of what price Jesus paid and the covenant that we have with you. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.